Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, it's Father's Day this weekend. And for some folks, that is such a happy time. And for dads, it's often kind of a mixed time. but for some people, it's a very painful time. It's difficult for people who wanted to have children and were not able. Some folks who wanted to marry and are unhappily single. There are, unfortunately, a lot of people who are unhappily single and a lot of people who are unhappily married. But whatever your circumstance is, I want you to know that there is a perfect Father. God loves his creation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Now, in the context of the gospel, whether you're single or married, whether you have children or are childless, whether you grew up in a wonderful family that was nurturing and encouraging, or whether you grew up in a family that was horribly difficult, the gospel enables you to transcend that. The past doesn't have to determine your future. You can trust in the Lord and find healing from whatever pain you've been through or you're going through. That does not mean that if you trust Jesus, everything gets easy. Everything feels good. That is not the case at all, and Jesus made it abundantly clear that that is not the case. But today, I want to talk with you, in light of the fact that Father's Day is coming, about the importance of fatherhood and just some observations from a guest we're going to be talking with in a few moments who has certainly got a lot of experience as a dad. Now, again, I urge you to think for a few minutes about your own situation. Consider, how would you say you have been fathered? Some of you didn't have your birth father to bring you up, but some of you have had other people in your life who really were a father to you. I've had the privilege of adopting, and I've had the privilege of mentoring quite a few folks, but I was blessed not only with a wonderful earthly father, but with a bunch of other father figures, including my oldest brother. If you are hurting in this area, I'm going to encourage you again at the conclusion of the program to reach out to us. This ministry, Ware's Valley Ranch, deals with families that are in crisis and kids who are fatherless, and we serve children from all over the U.S. who come to us from difficult home situations. It may be that dad is no longer in the home. It may be that the father is the only parent in the home, and he's struggling to provide for the family financially and at the same time try and parent the children. It's very difficult to be everywhere at once. And so we are glad to come alongside families that are needing help and provide children with a family environment here at Ware's Valley Ranch. If you have never visited the website, I want to encourage you to do so. It's WVR for Ware's Valley Ranch, WVR.org. And watch the 3-minute video on the opening page. It'll give you an idea of what this place is about. We cannot do what we do apart from the Lord, but what we have the privilege of doing here is watching God work miracles in the lives of these children. Today, we're going to be talking with a wonderful, godly man who has been involved in this ministry for a long time.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Folks, I'm delighted to have with me in the studio a dear friend, brother in the Lord, fellow elder in our church, the COO of Ware's Valley Ranch, the ministry that my wife and I started back in 1991, and just a wonderful brother in Christ. This is Brian McDonald. Brian, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Now, again, I've known Brian since he was a freshman at Georgia Tech, and let's just say God has blessed my life enormously by having him come alongside us here at the ranch. And he's been with us now for how many years, Brian?
Over 25.
That's a long haul. So we're very grateful God brought you here. God brought your wife. And today I asked Brian to come on the broadcast because I want to talk about fathers and fatherhood. And with Father's Day being celebrated this time of year, I thought it was appropriate to talk with someone who has some experience. I have only raised seven children on a full-time basis. We've had some others who've lived in our home. We currently have another young lady who we've taken custody of. But Brian completely outdid me in this arena. Brian, how many children do you currently have?
We have 10.
10 children, and two of them are now totally out of the house, married, and so I'd say they launched well. But tell us, how did you end up with 10 kids?
Well, that was a journey. We had three children, and my wife had a miscarriage on either side of them, and at the time I felt very overwhelmed and really stressed at the, we'd had children 2 years apart. And so it's sort of a cycle. Just when you recover from having one, you have another.
Yes.
And to be candid about it, I was not excited about the fact that we were expecting. And then we had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt guilty about the fact that I wasn't excited mm-hmm. that we were expecting. And around the same time you shared with me a message that Vody Balkum preached at the 2004 SBC conference in Texas. And mm-hmm. the essence of his message was this: most of us don't have children because we're selfish. It will impact our lifestyle, or it will impact our ability to do whatever, our freedoms. And it was very convicting to me. I realized that he's right. That's the most of our reason for not having more kids is all selfish. And so God used that to change our heart toward having children. We're not prescribing that everyone everywhere should try to have as many children as they can. I don't think that God's calling people to do that, everyone, in the same way. But I do think that he pressed that on us.
Yes.
And we're very grateful for each one of them has brought their own joys and challenges, and we wouldn't trade any of them.
And you've got a precious brood. I mean, I know each one of your children. I remember before the first one was born. I remember before you were married. So, I've had the opportunity to watch this. Now, early on, Brian asked me, and I considered it a real honor, he asked if Susan and I would be willing to be the guardians for his children in the event that something happened to both him and his wife. And we said that we would. And then they kept having more children. And I told Brian after they got up around five or six, hey, buddy, you realize I'm getting older, and so we're happy to still be the guardians, but there's a limit as to how many we can take. And he said, I'm trusting that you're never going to have to be called on, and if you are, we still would like for you to be the ones to make decisions about the care of our children. So again, I've had the privilege, I don't know, they may have changed the will 10 years ago and not told me, but and that's fine. But in any case, it's been an honor to be very much connected with the McDonald children. Their second to youngest came up and hugged me after devotions this morning and was very sweet, showing me a couple of her stuffed animals. So we have had the joy of watching that large family deal with not only the stresses of being a large family, but some health problems that some of the children have had. It has not been a journey that was without hiccups and question marks and lots of prayer. But God has been faithful, and they've seen some wonderful answers to prayer. Amen. Over the years. Let me just say, for truth in advertising, my wife and I mentioned, have raised 7 kids plus in our home, but 3 of those children were biological, and the one who still lives with us, not counting the young lady we've taken custody of, is my oldest son, and he lives with us after living on his own for years. He lived 10 hours away from home for years, drove a car to and from work with hand controls, got his own wheelchair in and out of the car, but he's paraplegic, has a lot of other health complications, and as his health has deteriorated over the years, he had to move home, move back in with us, and is dependent upon us for a lot of his care now. He does as much self-care as he's able, but he still needs us to do things for him, including helping him in a condition where now he has pretty significant memory loss. So please do not think, as you listen to this, that we're suggesting, as Brian already did a disclaimer, everybody needs to have as many children as possible. Everybody needs to be obedient to God. And what God calls us to is dependence upon him and a life of holiness, which includes dying to self and therefore to selfishness. And one way of doing that can be rearing your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mm. I will say this. I know people who have had large families selfishly, pridefully, who see their children as possessions rather than as those who belong to God that we are to be stewards of. And so Susan and I, most of our children are adopted, and we love every one of our kids. Some of them are more fun than others. Brian, as you have tackled parenting, and particularly as you've fulfilled the responsibility of being a father, what are some of the scriptures that God has impressed on you about your responsibility as a dad?
Well, one you just made reference to, and I like the wording. It's not a great way to choose your Bible interpretation based on the words you like, but but the King James in Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children." I'm going to butcher this because I wrote it down in the ESV, but don't provoke your children to anger, but raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the ESV, the NIV, the NAS all say discipline and instruction. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the better interpretation. But there's something about the King James that resonates with me, and I think with your son Clayton, because mm-hmm. Clayton teaches some things about child rearing that connect very well with that. Mm-hmm. And his phrase is consistent loving discipline.
Yes.
And to not exasperate your children mm-hmm. is mainly achieved through consistency.
Amen.
And nurture to me carries a connotation of caring and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And admonition definitely involves warning.
Yes.
And saying, son, that's poison ivy. Don't touch that.
Yes.
The stove is hot. Don't play in the road. All of those are things that parents need to do. And so that verse is simple to understand mm-hmm. and yet very deep in the application. There are many, many ways that we have to grow in how we do them. So consistent loving discipline. For me, one of the struggles is that our children are so adept at finding the inopportune moment to ask for something. And they know when you're at your weakest.
Yes.
And so it is a part of my own discipline is learning how to not say yes to things that I really can't, I shouldn't say yes to. That's mm-hmm. foolish. I want to give good gifts to my children, and my children, especially because there are so many, are very good at extracting more from me than I can actually deliver on.
Yes.
So there's a certain amount of discipline involved in just knowing when to say, I'll have to think about that,
mm-hmm.
or yeah, I hope so, or mm-hmm. something that defers that to a moment where I can think clearly about what they're asking for and whether or not I can actually do it. Also, just having the courage to speak to them or to their friends when they are going off the rails.
Yes.
And speaking a word to them that you know they don't want to hear, and yet you are the person who is called to do that, and you're the person in the right time and place that you need to do it. And so I'm grateful that God has enabled me at times to speak a word to them that I think was really helpful. And I'm also, I feel some regret at times where I should have said something to them
mm-hmm.
well and missed the opportunity. But that verse about rearing your children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I think is it encapsulates so much of what we're supposed to be.
Amen. Now, it is very, very helpful when you're rearing your children in the context of Christian community. And not just a community like Ware's Valley Ranch, but the community of the local church, where you have, as a parent, relationships with other believers who are like-minded and maybe at different stages in their journey of parenting. They may be grandparent stage. They may be young couples starting out that you can invest in. And as you're giving them some pointers, God's Spirit speaks to you about, yeah, remember that.
Mm.
So,
yes.
You know, being in the context of community is Christian community is very, very important and very helpful, but it does not absolve us as fathers of the responsibility to do our part with our kids. We can't just count on the community to raise them, the school to raise them, the church to raise them. We have to invest in them ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is, as you mentioned, at times exhausting. And yet we can't just say, well, I'm sorry, I'm tired, so I'm going to take the day off as a parent. In the Old Testament, and Vodi Bakum makes much of this, mm-hmm. the schedule for parental instruction is pretty all-encompassing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. So Deuteronomy 6 tells fathers to talk with their children about the law as they walk along the road. And basically, it's all the time, everywhere.
Yes.
You're supposed to put this law where they'll see it. You're supposed to talk with them about it all the time. And so it's a high bar.
Mm-hmm.
But the instruction to them in that chapter is this should be something you regularly talk about and discuss with your children.
When you get up in the morning and when you go to bed at night and all the time in between.
That's right.
Because kids are learning all the time.
Yes.
That's one of the things we emphasize here at Ware's Valley Ranch. Mm. Our school day doesn't begin when we gather for class or when we go down for chapel. Our school day is when the kids are awake to when they go to sleep. Because they're learning constantly, even when they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. They are learning. And therefore, we have a responsibility to shape the environment that they're in order to teach them and reinforce that which is true. Because out in the world, a lot of what they're going to be bombarded with is the lies of the enemy. And we have to recognize we're living, no matter what part of the country we live in, no matter what country we live in, we are living in a battle zone. And our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is no escape from that, but there is armor for that. And we have to put on the armor, and we have to teach our kids to trust in Christ and therefore put on the armor as well. Is it frustrating to you as a dad that you can't go ahead and make good decisions for your children?
Well, yes. Yes, there are many times I would like to dictate to them what they do, and we can't. And they wouldn't be good adults if they did. If they depended on me to make decisions for them forever, that mm-hmm. would not go well for them in the future.
That's right.
I'm not omniscient. Certainly made my own share of mistakes, both before we had kids and as a parent. So, yes, there are definitely times. I was thinking about this earlier, that 15-year-old boys are there. There's a pattern. Now, it took us several boys to notice this pattern. But our first son, about 15, he decided his mom really couldn't tell him anything anymore. Mm. And I don't mean, I mean, that's an exaggeration. I'm just saying that we suddenly had behavioral problems we'd never had. And it's like, what's gotten into him? And then our second son came along, and when he turned 15, he did the same thing. We said, what's gotten into him? And the third one comes along, and he's 15, and he doesn't want to hear anything, and was like, I think I see a pattern here. And now our fourth son's 15. It's like, yes, there's definitely a pattern there growing where they go through a period. Maybe it's different for different children. Maybe it's different for boys and girls. But they go through a period where, yeah, they just sort of know everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wish they could go out and change the world when they're 16 while they still know everything before they, you know, they hit their 20s and all that knowledge seeps out. Anyway, so yes, there are plenty of times that I've wanted to. And you mentioned Christian community, and it's really true. It's been frustrating to me at times, but there were things that I wanted to tell my children and did tell my children that they did not want to hear from me.
Yes.
But they would readily accept it from somewhere else. And so getting the same information, the same exhortation from someone else was a help. So, yeah, I agree with you about seeking out, intentionally seeking Christian community mm-hmm. and people, like-minded parents who are striving along with us to rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that it's so life-giving when my kids can hear truth from someone else.
Yes.
And I'm not the only one speaking into them. And I just say, too, there are many, we all fail as parents. Mm-hmm. There is one perfect parent.
Amen.
And thankfully, he is a parent to everyone who's in Christ.
Amen.
So for those who are dealing with regret about what they wish they had had as a child, or whether you're dealing with the regret of what you wish you had done as a parent, mm-hmm. God is a perfect parent.
Amen.
And he's the only perfect parent. And so the good news for us is that he really is a good, good father.
Amen.
He really does do the right thing with our children, including making up for things that we lack.
Amen.
And as you mentioned, you mentioned it in what we call, affectionately call the Foreman principle here, which I
yes.
trust is not the first time folks have heard that. But the idea that what we learn is far more absorbed, it's more caught than taught,
mm-hmm.
that what is modeled for us daily has a longer lasting impression than what we hear
yes.
in words. Even if we're hearing the words over and over and over, it's what's modeled for us that we absorb. And to that end, one thing I found great comfort in when I fail is that that's my opportunity to model repentance
Amen.
For my kids. And that's something that every sinner needs to learn.
Yes.
And so if I failed in doing something right, the next right thing is for me to tell my kids, I'm sorry, that was wrong of me. Please forgive me. I'm glad you're my son, daughter. So anyway, to that end, just as a word of encouragement, modeling repentance for our kids is something that both we're called to do. And my experience from that has been wonderful, that my kids, you didn't lose your kids because you admitted your fault.
Amen.
In many cases, they respond better
yes.
to a parent who's open to correction
Amen.
Than a parent who feels they're right all the time.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I hope you'll pray for us here at Weirs Valley Ranch as we endeavor to provide godly father figures to children who come from very difficult situations. Our culture has an epidemic of fatherlessness. And this place, Weirs Valley Ranch, has been miraculously raised up by God in order to provide a home environment for kids who have a problem in the home that they didn't create. Please pray for us. And if you're struggling right now and want someone to pray with you, please don't hesitate to reach out. Our toll-free number will not have a live person answering, but we do have people who will follow up with you if you leave us a message. We're happy to talk with you, happy to pray with you, and happy to encourage you as you look to our Heavenly Father to meet your needs. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make,
I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.